Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Wayward Podcast, where the word paves the way. I am your host, Jonathan Robinson, and today I'm going to be bringing you another episode filled with what I hope is both educational and encouraging content. And if this is your first time here, I'm glad you're here. I want to welcome you, and if you like what you hear, I'd love it if you subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. And if you happen to be on the YouTube channel, I'd love it if you liked and subscribed there. So, awesome. Welcome, welcome. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back. I'm glad you're here. I hope that what you've been hearing from me has been helpful. Hopefully we can get you a little bit more of that here today. Today we are continuing on in our Bible story series, and we've been going through the days of creation in the Genesis story. Genesis chapter 1, or more contextually, the functions that God gave order to within creation. And I say function because the creation story is more about bringing order to chaos than bringing about a material existence. And bringing order to chaos requires that existence functions. And the first function that we focused on in the when we started looking at the days of creation was basically the function of time. Whereas the text says, "Let there be light," it's probably closer to the idea of "let there be a period of light." And if you want to get into more of that, you can go back to that episode and check it out. But it's the idea that time was the first function that God established. Time is the function that contains and compels all other functions. And in our previous episode, the one we worked on our last time, the second function that God put in place was basically the weather. And the text speaks of a dome that God placed to separate the waters above from the waters below. And while a material, physical dome ceiling to keep water from falling doesn't really work in the text, or reality, really, the function of weather to regulate rainfall and limit flooding, it does work. So having explored these first two functions within creation, time and weather, we now turn today to the third day of creation. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, I am reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. So, verse 9. "And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day." Now, before we dive into this, I first want to clarify something that I've been mentioning in all of these creation or day of creation episodes, and that is that throughout these episodes, these creation episodes, I've been relying really heavily on the writings and contributions of Dr. John Walton. He's an Old Testament professor from Wheaton College, and his book, The Lost World of Genesis 1, has been incredibly helpful to me and to my growth. And while the content that I am sharing here with you today is my own, you know, like I want to make sure that I cite my sources. And so, really, if this subject matter is stuff that you would like to dive deeper into, you know, Dr. John Walton's Lost World series and his material is really cool and really worth checking out. And so I just wanted to make sure that was clear. So, having read this text, there are a number of things happening here. There's a number of things happening in this text, and there are a number of possible ways to look at it. And one way to look at it is at this particular day of creation is by arguing that nothing actually gets created on this third day. And if you kind of go back through that text again, you kind of see the language of let the waters be gathered, or let the dry land appear, and let the earth bring forth vegetation. It makes it seem like the text is focusing on the materials that are already present. And it kind of, you know, can kind of leave you with the idea that maybe God didn't actually create anything on this day. And yet another way to look at it is by arguing that two different material creations take place on this day. The separating of the waters from the dry land, and then the emergence of vegetation. And this view also is focusing on the material's existence in the story. But what we have been consistently finding in our study, again and again throughout this creation study, is that in this text, the creation story is focused on creation's functions rather than on its material existence. So if we continue to look at this text functionally, as we have tried to do throughout the story, it's not two different material creations being made, but a specific function being given order. Materially, yes, there are different moving parts here, moving pieces. There's the waters that are being gathered from one area, the dry land emerging, the plants that then yield seed, or the plants that are brought forth, and then along with the fruit trees and everything. So there's several different moving pieces here, but functionally, all these parts together form a very important function. They form the functional basis for growing food upon the earth. So all individually, these are all, you know, you could look at, or materially, you could look at these all as individual pieces or several moving parts. But the focus of the text is on how those pieces all connect together to form a function for growing food upon the earth. And now, as we've seen in these previous 2 days, these first 3 days of creation, they belong to a specific structure in Genesis 1. And these first 3 days are structured as days of forming, or days that form the framework for life being able to function upon the earth. In the first day, the function of time was formed to give all life a framework of rhythm to operate within. And then on the second day, the function of weather was formed to make the world a livable environment. And now here on the third day, the function that allows vegetation is formed to sustain life. And between the waters that are gathered from one area to the dry land that emerges, and then the plants and the fruit trees yielding seed that are then brought forth, the altogether function here that is created here is a life cycle that is being given cohesion. All these moving parts form a life cycle. So what does this formation of this function mean for the story? Well, to put it simply, this function allows for there to be a story. The formation of this function establishes the sustenance that will be required for life to exist on Earth. The formation The formation of this function is the establishing of Earth's life sources. And what the formation of this function means more specifically for the people of Israel is that it reveals the origin of their sustenance. This origin story of Earth's sustenance allows Israel to trace their provision to a provider. Yes, food is planted in the spring, it grows in the summer, it is harvested in the fall, and in the winter there is the question of what will next year be like. But the fact that the cycles of vegetation have their being in the Creator who enabled their function allows Israel to trust in their provider God that His provision will return again. Life will recycle because God empowers or propels the cycle. And several of Israel's psalms, if you go to the book of Psalms, you'll see that several of the psalms of praise really bear witness to this. For example, or a few examples here, in Psalm 104, verse 14, it reads, "You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and the plants for people to cultivate, to bring forth food from the earth." And Psalm 104:27 says, "These all look to you to give them their food in due season." And then Psalm 111, verse 5, it says, "He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant." In Psalm 136, verse 25, it says that it is he who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. And in Psalm 145, verse 15, it says, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season." So the book of Psalms, the people of Israel's traditional hymn book, it continuously bears witness to the fact that God put this function in place as a way to not only bless the people of the world, but to be a sign to Israel that her covenant with God was still intact and still operating, that their provider who made them a promise is still making good on that promise by providing. And as followers of Jesus, we lean into this trust as well. And as we discussed with the weather in the previous episode, there is a tension that has to be entered here and learned to be balanced. And for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, Paul writes of foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving. So because of our Creator and Provider God, there is opportunity to gratefully receive the sustenance He has provided and enjoy it. But there are also times when there may be a scarcity of food, an absence of food, an absence of abundance. And to that end, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, "For I have learned to be content with whatever I have, to know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So even when there is scarcity, or even when there is absence of abundance, or when things are tight, God is still good. He is still the creator and the provider God whom we can lean into and trust and rest in. And in addition to navigating this balance, we as followers of Jesus can also learn to live our shared life together as living echoes of this function of sustenance. In other words, part of the church's role is to channel God's provision in an effort to conduct God's blessedness. Now, we see this in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 48, with how the early church shared their provisions with each other and showed hospitality to each other. And also in Acts 7, we see how the church made their food available for Greek widows in Jerusalem. So we see the church acting as a conduit of God's provision. And if we take 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17's idea of the church being part of the new creation in Christ, and we apply that to this function of sustenance that God generated, you can kind of envision the church as a living manifestation of the life cycle, the life-giving cycle that is experienced in Christ. Meaning that the church is the culture that facilitates the Spirit's life. The church is the people who personify God's growth. The church is the people that we look to visualize life that is good. So now that we have finished this first set of 3 days, let's just review real quick, but these first 3 days, like I said, these first 3 days are structured as days of forming. And what has been formed at this point is a function of time that sets a pace and rhythm to existence. There is a function of weather that makes the world a livable environment. And there is a function of vegetation that makes sustenance and nutrition accessible in this environment. So with these three functions formed, we now are ready to turn to focus on what these formed functions are for, okay? So in our next three episodes, or in the next set of 3 days of creation, we will begin to focus on the structure of filling. The functions have been formed, now they need to be filled. And what are those functions for? So that's what we'll be looking at in our next episode. I hope you're able to join me then. I hope that you have enjoyed me, what I've said here now. I hope that it has just kind of helped to remind you of how our God is a provider and how life, the life that we enjoy, the life we call good, the life that we depend on is a life that originates in God, a life that finds its source in the Lord our God. So I thank you for joining me today. I hope you have a blessed day. Thank you for joining me here on the Wayward Podcast, where the word paves the way. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.